everyone, and welcome to another episode of Signals from the Deep, the official podcast of your Seattle Kraken. Thank you all so much for receiving this signal. As always, I am Piper Shaw, joined by my co-host, JT Brown.
Got some fun stuff to get into today.
We sure do. And of course, our producer extraordinaire, Drew.
We're back home.
Yes, we are back home, and it is good to be back home. March is an interesting schedule because we have a nice long homestand, which is such a privilege for those of us who like travel, and then we have a really long road trip coming up here.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, but at least you get the long homestand to start it off rather than, I mean, obviously out of the break had the two games on the road, but if it would have been that long trip right out of the break, that would have been something that I don't think anybody really would have enjoyed.
No, even those two games out of the break, and we went to Dallas 2 days early, but even that, it felt really long for just two games.
Yeah. I don't want to think about the long road trip anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, we're just going to like, that's down the road.
Push
that's a
that
problem
off.
For later us, or not a problem, but that's for later us to deal with. So we got a couple of things to dig into before we are joined by our special guest for today's podcast. So first, we got to talk trade deadline. This is the first podcast since the NHL trade deadline. Couple of moves for the Kraken, of course, extending the captain, Jordan Eberle, another 2 years for him here in Seattle, $5.5 million average annual value on that deal. JT, just what'd you think about the extension and what this means for the team?
Well, I think it's a good thing, obviously, with your captain re-signing with the organization, wanted to be here, wants to continue to grow with this franchise. And, you know, he's a person that all the players, they respect. Obviously, he says the right things when it comes to the locker room. He's shown it this year, especially when you look at his play, coming back from an injury, leading the team in goals, leading the team when it comes to points as well. So to have that coming back, right, you obviously have to find the right line, and that's where ownership, agents, everybody works their way through. And I think that, you know, when you look at the numbers, you look at where he's at, I think both sides are happy, right? You mm-hmm. want to have your leadership back. I think as a young franchise, to have that cornerstone, to have that piece in Eberle, the way that he's been playing. And again, you hear, I think for me, listening to other guys in the room, the way they talked about his signing, that shows it's the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. You listen to the way Matty Beniers was talking to him. I believe McCann had a few good sound bites on, you know, what Ebs means to the team as well. So when, like I said, when you're listening to players, that's how you get the real vibe of what that player means to the, or not only to the organization, but to the team and to the on-ice performance. So thought it was a good deal, obviously, for Ebs and his family as well, to be able to stay here for two more years. And, you know, who knows what happens after that. I'm sure that's a conversation, like just like the road trip, that's a conversation for another time. But, you know, definitely looking at his production and looking at what he means to this team and to the players in the locker room, it's a good signing.
I like what you said too, calling out Matty Beniers and Jared McCann too, because obviously they're his typical line mates, so they know him very well, and it's important, obviously, that those two individuals, you know, really respect him and want him to stay around. But I also love, I know I said this on the broadcast the other night, but like it seems like every time we have like a new young kid come in to this team, they're always like, Jordan Eberle was my hero growing up. Like, I'll never forget when Berkeley Catton made his debut in Philadelphia earlier this year, and he was like, I can't believe I'm going to play on a line with Jordan Eberle, because they're both like Saskatchewan kids, rather. And just like, he just grew up idolizing him from the World Juniors
moment
and stuff. Yeah. And even I remember Cale Fleury years ago when I met him for the first time, I asked him who his favorite player was growing up, and he was like, is it bad if I say Jordan Eberle? Like, you know, and so it's cool too. It's like you have like those respected, those top players, and then you also have that like younger generation, like buy-in and admiration. And those are just so great to have in your captain. And then you touched on his family too. Lauren, his wife, is a literal saint and just a spectacular mom. And I know that they genuinely love Seattle. They love it. They dig into all of what the community and the nature has to offer for them and their kids. So I'm really happy for everyone involved.
Yay. Yeah, and the longer it goes too, right, you want to get that stuff done. You're in the last year of your contract, obviously. When you look at free agency, where do you, how things shake out, obviously you go through the rest of the year, but I know that that's, you know, a sigh of relief, you know, from that side, from the camp, to be able to have that done and locked in. And, you know, obviously you're going into the final stretch of the regular season here too, trying to keep into the playoff spots, keep pushing forward and stave off other teams that are trying to push their way in and take the Kraken spot. So to have him locked in, ready to go, it's awesome.
Which it's also interesting because when you mentioned like free agency, that's a trend that we've seen so much this year too, with so many top players for teams that were expected to be free agents this offseason or possibly on the trade market. We're not, because they signed deals early, right? Which is making it going to be interesting in the summer a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely think the new CBA sort of really put that into
motion
to start signing guys earlier just to lock in the longer term deal. But it's always interesting, right, when it comes to the free agency and whether summer, that's down the line. Same thing, mm-hmm. though, with the trade deadline. There's always moves, but it doesn't always work, right? There's always players. Is the asking price too high? What do, say, I say we, but as an owner or GM around the league, they would say, how do we value this player versus what the team that has them? They may have a different evaluation for them. So it's not as easy as everyone wants to make it believe or make it seem, especially when in the day and age of social media and how things work. It's a lot more complicated, but at the end of the day, you know that they're all making the calls, they're trying, but at the end of the day, it doesn't always work out. So I always get excited, but you just never really know.
Yeah, you never really know. And that was also something that general manager Jason Botterill said, both in his media availability after the trade deadline, also on the broadcast, also in our like team meeting this morning, is just like it was a very interesting like trade deadline. And there it felt like there was across the league so many deals that could happen or not happen, but also no trade clauses came into play big time across the league, not for us necessarily, but just across the league in general. So,
yeah, I'd also say too, I mean, this year's interesting when it comes to just looking around the league and looking at the standings, especially if you look at the Eastern Conference too, like it's super log jammed, right? Mm-hmm. So like if you're starting to trade, are you giving up? Like, you know what I mean? Like if you're giving away players, are you just throwing away the season, but you're only a few points out? There's just so many teams that are so close. I think that definitely plays a part into it as well. Obviously not having been in those rooms, but just looking at where teams are, so many teams can make a push. And maybe it's not a, hey, we're all in, we're selling everything to get this one piece type of deal, but how can we improve our team just enough so that we can continue to solidify our spot? Or can we jump somebody else by just adding one piece here or there?
Mm-hmm. Which brings us exactly to the move that the Kraken did make, trading with the Toronto Maple Leafs to acquire Bobby McMahon, sending a fourth round pick in 2026 and a second round pick in 2027 to Toronto. That was the singular move that Seattle made. What did you think of this trade and what Bobby can bring to this group? We at the time of recording this, we've yet to see him play, but hopefully by the time you're listening to this, his visa will be all cleared up and we will have seen him in action. But
I just want to point out, I did that on purpose, the segue into the next part with Bobby McMahon. You know,
genius broadcasting, JT.
Some people might think it was an accident. I'd like to say that was on purpose, bringing it to the next point. And, you know, just kind of like I said, like when you're looking at the Kraken and where they are, they're in a playoff spot, right? So how do you improve your team? You don't want to completely change the dynamic because the dynamic has worked so far. You're sitting into a playoff spot. You have a good team. When you sit there and you look at how they play, when they play the way they're supposed to, obviously every team's going to have off nights when you look at a course of an 82-game season. That stuff happens. But I think you want to find a piece that can fit into the style. I think that the familiarity with head coach Lane Lambert comes into play when you look at how quickly can he adjust to the style and the system that Seattle is playing. That definitely plays a part. I think you look at his skill. Obviously, he's got 19 goals this year. That would be, you know, when he got the trade, that puts him as second on the team when it comes to goal scoring. So you're getting a goal scoring boost. Mm-hmm. I think you look at his speed and the way that his size, the way he can play with size and speed, forechecking. They want to be a hard team to play against. You want to keep other teams on their heels, and that's something that he can do. And, you know, just finding the consistency aspect within there can be a really good force for this team. You look at him in the middle six to upper six, you know, when you look at just looking at the lines, where does he fit in? I definitely think you have an opportunity for him to be up in that top six role, get him in the front of the net from play with speed, make the forecheck, make it hard for every team each and every night. And again, biggest aspect, you look at speed, you look at how you can shoot. He's got the hockey intelligence, the smart side of the game as well. But again, I think the big part is how quickly he can adjust. Obviously, it's a different, it's a whirlwind type thing. No different than, you know, waivers, or you get to trade it somewhere and all of a sudden you're in a different spot. I think that it's more just finding chemistry with guys. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the first thing you're looking at. Who does he fit with? You're going to try him in a couple different spots, whether it's, you know, maybe it's on the second line. Maybe we move him to this this wing instead of the other side. So I think there's plenty of room for him to grow and to see where it fits. But I think when you look at it on paper, it's a good move. You're able to add some scoring, add some scoring touch. I think that's one thing the Kraken, you know, at times throughout the year, it's been struggled to score goals. Obviously, the goaltending has been great and been keeping them in games. And if you can add a few more goals to your lineup, it's definitely a good thing.
And I want to build on two things that you said there, too. You mentioned getting to the net. That's a big thing that we heard from Botterill and Lambert, is just his ability to get there, which is sometimes a challenge for this team. And unfortunately, Jaden Schwartz will be out indefinitely with an upper body injury after an incident against Ottawa on last Saturday night. And so that is one of your best players when it comes to getting to the net and getting pucks to the net front. So adding that additional ability is also huge for this group. And then also you mentioned his familiarity with Lane Lambert. Just in case people don't recall, Lane was an associate coach with Toronto last year. And the Kraken, according to him, do play a similar system. So that is something that Lane said as well, was that he felt like he would be able to fit right into the system because we play that similar system. So hopefully, I mean, we will see, you know, how that plays out. But overall, hopefully a good add for the team.
Yeah, again, like you said, you're in a spot where, you know, you can add a piece and try to not give up too much, right? Just because you are in a playoff spot, you like the way the team has played overall. When it comes to, like I said, you're always going to have a game off here and there where it's just not up to your standard or up to the team standard of how they want to play. But when you look at the big picture of where the Kraken are, you're adding a piece here to continue to keep pushing for those playoff spots. You got 20 games left at the time of recording this, and McMahon can help you in that situation. He can help you when it comes to all the things we talked about, size, speed, shot, going through. And, you know, again, it's going to be a fun, not only to watch him play and to get, you know, from this side and versus watching him on the Leafs and seeing him play against the Kraken. But I think, you know, for the fans as well, just the push down the stretch.
Yeah. I asked Jared McCann, or I was talking with Jared McCann ahead of the Ottawa game, just about Jordan's contract extension and just kind of the team tone after the deadline. And he was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going to be putting McMahon right next to me. We're going to be stallmates just because of the McCann and McMahon of it all. It was just funny. We got how many J names?
Yeah.
And now we got a McMahon and a McCann.
Yeah. Study hard.
A Capo Caco and a Nike Coco down in Coachella Valley. So, and then also we should note as well that Ty Cartier was waived with the intention to send him to Coachella Valley, and he was picked up from waivers by the New York Rangers and has been playing for the Rangers as well.
You know, it's an opportunity. Obviously, when you look at it, you want to be able to keep a guy like that within your organization. Obviously, a great person too, being able to talk to him. But I mean, that's, from my perspective, obviously from a playing side, I was claimed off of waivers, and it's an opportunity for you to stay in the NHL. As much as it's a tough position to be in, especially from a team perspective, and you want those guys, you want them to have the ability to call them up, especially when you're talking about when another injury happens. Like, you're not saying you don't want the player anymore, you're just wanting to keep him within your organization. And, you know, being the player that he was, you look at the Rangers saw that and they wanted to give him an opportunity. So I think it's hard, you know, from a team side, you're looking at it and it's like, you really wish you were able to keep them. But I look at it from the player side as well. You are just gaining that opportunity. So you just wish him the best of luck in New York. And obviously you just thank him for the time that he was here and what he was able to bring to the team.
Yeah, 100%. One of the best stories, I think, in the early years of this franchise that we got to cover was him and his rise, you know, a player that didn't have much when it comes to professional prospects. And, you know, we needed players for our brand new AHL team. And he just, you know, rose to the top and provided Kraken fans with so many great memories. So I'm happy for him that he gets to be in a lineup consistently and get to stay in the NHL. But thanks for everything, Ty, if you're out there. So, all right, JT, anything else that you want to touch on here before we get to our special guest?
Not that I can think of. Ready to move on.
Oh, wait, I do have one. Oh, no. I got one little thing.
Okay.
I thought we would get through an episode without mentioning this. However, if anybody out there is interested, the last time that JT and I went to Disneyland with radio color analyst Al Kaniski, we did record a vlog, and that vlog is on YouTube. So you could watch A Day at Disneyland with JT, Piper, and Al if you care to. It is on my podcast.
We talk about it enough. I mean,
exactly. Like, if anybody out there like actually cares about that, it's on my other podcast's YouTube channel, which is Where the Magic Happens podcast. So you might have to like search for it, but if you search for it, you'll find it. Or maybe it's probably on my social media page too. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there in case anyone's curious.
I wasn't sure what was going to be, so I was a little just like, all right, I don't know what this is. Am I going to get chirped or something? Like, I don't know, but that was good.
Yeah. All right, let's go to our special Finnish finale. All right, everybody, welcome back to Signals from the Deep. We are now joined by our special Finnish finale here, Ellie Tolvanen. Ellie, thank you for joining us here on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, we got to start with the headline news here. What do you have to show here?
I showed the camera.
Just a little hardware.
Yeah, it's the bronze medal from the Olympics. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Didn't get the gold, but we got something. You know, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, just a subtle little flex with your Olympic medal here. That's so cool. That thing is heavy.
Yeah, that was the interesting spot. Didn't think it was going to be as heavy as it was. And also, we wanted you to bring it. I wanted to see it. Selfishly enough, I wanted to see what it looked like. So thank you for bringing that here on the pod.
Yeah, so we just want to start by talking about the Olympics a little bit. I have kind of a hockey question to begin here, because I know we've already talked about the Olympics off camera and a ton. But okay, when you're playing for an NHL team, you have training camp, you have so much practice time to kind of get everybody on the same page, understand the system, know what you're trying to do. When you show up to play for an international game, you don't have that kind of that time to like prepare. So what kind of goes into getting everybody on the same page to win and to compete and bring your best when you don't have all of that time, if that makes sense?
Yeah, well, obviously, Olympics are a little different. You know, it's coming. You know, most of the guys are already knew that they're going to be on a team. So, you know, there's certain guys fighting for the spot. But, you know, we had a little meet during the summer times, you know, go through the systems and stuff. Then we had a couple Zoom calls with the GM, with the coaches. But then literally when we got to Milan, we had 2 days and hop on the ice and play the first game. So it was pretty quick. But they try to make it as easy as it could be to play the style of hockey that we play here. So they try to take what the teams are doing here, you know, implement in our game. So it was a little hard, but it at the same time, it was the easy when you play for your country. So it doesn't matter the system. You're just so amped up to win on the ice, and you do everything you can to win the games.
How much kind of like familiarity do you have with all of your teammates there too? Because obviously I would imagine a lot of you guys kind of grew up playing together, or you've played together multiple times before.
Yeah, well, obviously for me, we were all kind of like the younger guys. The older guys already played together for the World Juniors, for the national team, under 18s together. And then there's a couple of the younger guys playing that we played together. I think there was three or four of us who won in Vancouver 17 or 18, the World Juniors. But there's a couple guys, but there's a lot of guys that I never played with. But at the same time, you play in NHL against Finnish guys. So you go on the ice, you go in the corners, you always chirp in Finnish, you talk in Finnish. It doesn't matter if you know him or not. You always say hi in Finnish or go about your business. For me, it was like I knew most of the guys, but there's still the older guys were kind of new. But, you know, it's always when you get together as a national team, it's always the atmosphere is so relaxed and so fun. You can speak your own language again. So, yeah, it's special.
Yeah.
What was that like switching, obviously, as someone who only speaks one language? Obviously, over here, I mean, you can speak to Kaapo in Finnish, but not everybody else on the team. So, obviously, you're used to speaking English on the ice here. Is it an easy transition? You go back and forth? Were you doing some English, some Finnish, or was it just all Finnish going through?
It's all Finnish. I think it's easier to go that way for the national team. You know, sometimes when you don't think about it, you start answering questions in English. That happens, but other than that, I think it was way easier. Just, you know, everybody was kind of joking around. So when you have the light mood, it's easier to go about it in Finnish.
You're a little bit of a prankster, a little bit of a silly goose, I would say.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that.
What?
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know nothing about that. But I was just wondering, like, how much do you, like, chirp, like, when you're on the ice? Like, do you chirp in English a lot? Like,
no.
You're not a big chirper?
No, I can't.
You can't?
No, I can't back up. it still needs some learning, for sure. Finnish, I try to do it.
Yeah.
But not in English yet.
Well, I've been down in between the benches quite a few times, and I would say he's not lying there. I don't hear a lot back and forth. Who would you say on the team is the biggest chirper between on the ice and then between the, you know, the two benches?
It has to be Monty. You just say
that's the right answer.
Stupid stuff. Sometimes I look over and I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
it's definitely Monty from my experience being 100%. In between. I usually take one ear off and like try to hear exactly what's going on. But you mentioned, you know, obviously the first Olympics. What was the key difference for you going into a second one?
I think I was too young, to be honest, on the 2018. I kind of went there to play a tournament. It didn't feel like Olympics for me. That was the year I played really actually good hockey, a lot of hockey. So it felt like it was another tournament during that span. But, for sure, this one was, I knew that what to expect. I knew how nice or how big of an experience it is to, you know, live in the village, you know, see different athletes, go have a breakfast and you walk in the cafeteria, you see all these new or different athletes. You know, some of them wearing gold medal on the day five that you go in for your first game and they already won. So it's pretty special. I think that was the coolest thing too. In Milan, you see so many other athletes and so many big stars that you probably weren't expecting to see.
Did you have any friends or family come to any of the games?
Yeah, I had a family and friends coming for the first couple games because that was easy to, you know, arrange. After that, it was new. You didn't really know when you're playing or which rink you're playing and what time. And it's everybody had to work, so it was a little tougher. So, I had family for the first couple games. And then it was just my fiance was there. So that was kind of nice, too. It's more relaxed when you don't have, but it's nice to see your family. But at the same time, you're there to play in Olympics, but they want to go to dinners and all that stuff. So it's kind of, you try to make time for everybody, but at the same time, you're there to compete.
Right. What was it like to have Kaapo there? Like, I know, like, we've talked about that a little bit, but, like, you know, you knew what the experience was like. He probably didn't.
No, yeah.
I mean, he did the Four Nations. You know, he's competed internationally, but this is a whole different thing.
Where he was going. To be honest, I think we were joking around on our way there. He had no idea when the flights were. I was trying to let him know. I was answering his emails about, like, hey, where we have to go. And it's like, I felt like Baxi for a second trying to figure out this flight plan for Kaapo. And he was just laughing. And he was like, yeah, like, you can figure it out. So I was glad that he was there, too. It's been kind of fun, you know, go through all the experience and kind of laugh about it after. Kubi there, too. Saw him a lot, actually, at the village. So, yeah, it was special to, you know, have those guys too. And it's nice to still talk about this day, you know, go through about having dinners together or just laughs and all the stuff that we did in Milan.
Did you just, like, have a copy of all of your travel itinerary for Kaapo? Did you guys just have the same itinerary or were there any differences?
At some point I just texted we had a lady who had our flights and stuff, and I just texted her that you can just send me the Kaapo stuff and I'll answer.
You called the car.
I got everything.
You had the dinner reservation.
Exactly.
Did you actually? Did. Oh, my gosh.
That's hilarious. Interested to hear your opinion on this. There was a lot of buzz prior to the Olympics about the size of the rink and having the shorter neutral zone, maybe the ice conditions as well. What was it like once you got over there? Had they figured everything out, and was there really any difference for you?
Well, you don't really feel the ice being smaller. It was so high-tempo hockey, so you didn't really focus on the neutral being smaller. The ice was kind of bad in the first couple of games, so I think that took away about the rinks being smaller too, because you were just so worried about not making turnovers because the ice was kind of choppy. But you didn't really care about the rink. It was really hot. The locker room was kind of weird too, the systems. And it was the setup was – it was a really cool rink. But it was still – you can see it was just finished. And, I mean, there's just still stuff that wasn't finished. But I think overall it was pretty cool rink, and everything was better than we were expecting months.
Based on the reports and what everybody was hearing, you didn't really hear anything much afterwards, right? Mm-hmm. So just wanted to see on that. And it's probably just one of those situations too, right, where – I think people always say too, like, oh, do you notice the crowd or all these things? Like, once you start the game, you don't really pay attention to anything else. So you're not really, unless it was really short, because it wasn't short by a ton, right? They'd be completely different if you were playing on a 3-on-3 rink size. Yeah. But just that very minimalness, you probably wouldn't have picked up on it right in the game.
Yeah, no, not really. And I think some of the guys were saying, I think the coach said that it's the same rink they use for the Global Series in Helsinki 2 years ago. So it's the same size. It was a smaller back then, and then they had no idea that the rink was smaller when Florida and Dallas played there. So it's kind of weird that nobody talked about that, but it was the same size that it was on that couple games.
Yeah. It's interesting because I talked to Gruby about this a little bit too, and he actually pulled out a whiteboard, but he said that for him, the reason that he could tell that the rink was different was because of angles off the dot coming his way, where the pucks were coming from. I don't know if you felt that at all as a shooter. No, not at all. Yeah.
Nope.
Obviously way more important for the goaltender to understand the angles and everything. But I thought that was interesting. Okay. Something unrelated to this that we wanted to talk about. We talked about this with Vince a little bit, but we felt that we should talk with you about it because by many people's opinions, you are the player that has taken the most advantage of the change in the NHL dress code this year. What did you think about the dress code, and how would you describe your game day style?
No, I love it. I think it's way better this way. I was not a big fan of suits. I always felt like they were uncomfortable on the travel. It was always... You want to go dinners after games or something, you always have to go home and change. So it's way easier now. You can just wear whatever. Feel comfortable going to the rink, too. I think that's the biggest thing. You feel comfortable. You look good. You feel good. You play good, I guess. It's something I've always, been interesting is fashion shopping. Mm-hmm. I do way too much of it.
You have a huge sneaker collection, right?
Not anymore. Oh. I've tried to. Stay away from those. I used to have a bigger one, but right now it's just hats. I think Instagram ads are my biggest enemy right now. I see something, I order, and then I have no idea what I ordered, different sizes. And I always tell myself I can always return. I never return. That's the biggest problem.
I feel like they make it hard on Instagram to do it. I mean, obviously, Amazon and other places, or you can just stop in the store to return things. It's a lot easier, but I'm with you. I buy things all the time. My wife, Lexi, gets so mad when she's like, what'd you get off of Instagram? Which ad did you just buy something from? So I know how that goes. They get me. I am a part of the algorithm.
I get a golf shoes ordered in December, and I'm already thinking about, what can I wear with these? And then I start ordering T-shirts and hats, and I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to golf next summer.
So do you just give all the things that you're not going to wear to Cabo then? No, just
kidding. He's too
Cabo,
big.
Here you go.
I should order an XL.
Who on the team would you say needs a little help in the style department on the game day fits?
There's a lot. No,
just a little. I'm not saying that it's bad, but I'm just saying just a little help. You should go take them shopping.
Lars.
He just keeps it very simple.
He does. He loves his Lulu. That's why I always keep hard time with him.
Okay.
It's I always joke around with, you know, his all new Lulu t-shirts. He has the white brand new every game. So maybe get some prints on those.
Okay. Yeah.
Something a little more fun. You have that awesome purple jacket. Where did you get that jacket? That thing's sweet.
Where did I get it? I think I got it in Finland last summer, actually, just before I came back to Seattle. I saw it and
yeah,
had to get it.
You wore it like what? I think it was one of the first games this year. I think because I remember JB who does social for the Kraken. He was taking all the game day fits. He's like, "Yo, Tolvi's got this jacket." He's like, "That's the front page on social today. It's gonna be that purple jacket."
Yeah, I think that was in Toronto, or Montreal. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. Okay, I want to talk about your pranks a little bit as well. We alluded to it. Do you have any pranks that you have conducted that stand out in your mind or that are favorites of yours?
No, none.
Not even the saw behind me on TV?
Well, I am pleased to report that at the start of the year, I was informed that Kaapo Kakko was living with Elli Tolvanen once again. He has found his own place, though, now.
Oh, yeah, you're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, actually, pranks. I don't even know if there's that many pranks this year.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Didn't somebody cut, like, holes through Maddie's socks?
I don't know.
Oh, he told me. He told me that they did.
That's a good one.
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
No, that's hilarious.
Maddie told me that. I went around the room. I was like, what's going on? Well, Monty told me, he's like, Piper, there's been some pranks going around. I think you should look into it. And I'm like, have you been doing the pranks or what? Like, okay. So then I went over to Maddie and I was like, do you know anything about pranks going on right now? And he was like, well, somebody cut the toes out of both my socks today and I pulled them on and they went like through.
There was a time that there was a lot of pranks, actually. I remember that. Actually, lately it's been kind of quiet.
Once it starts, it's hard to stop, though, yeah. Right? Because, like, everybody wants to get back at the person or figuring out who did it. I still think one of my favorite ones is, like, sewing, like, when they're wearing suit pants and, like, suits, you'd, like, sew their pockets shut.
Yes.
That's a solid one. You get your pants on, their phone's stuck in their pocket, they can't get it out.
Yeah, I think somebody was taping those student driver signs on the cars.
God, that is awesome.
That's so good.
Yeah. I don't know who that was.
Yeah.
Sure you don't. You don't have to divulge.
You don't need to say who they are.
You don't gotta say it.
I wondered if you had any, though, just, like, ever that you, like, really remember, like, even when you were, like, younger, like, any that you were, like, I'm particularly proud of that one.
No, not actually. There is a couple. I mean, they're pretty basic, though.
Yeah.
Do the water cups. And
that's a good one.
You feel so much thick with water. yeah. But there hasn't been that many good ones this year yet.
Yeah.
Yet. Oh. There will be.
Well, put somebody's gloves in the freezer, both pairs, so that they can't use their backups for practice. They're going to be ice cold. That's always a fun one.
Yeah, then Jeff gets pissed at me.
Well, that's why you got to go to him and you got to get,
you gotta get him in on the joke.
Yeah, put all his grab Kaapo's gloves, and he has 8 different pairs there, so.
change one of Kaapo's flights, and he would never know.
Exactly.
That's a brutal prank.
Yeah, going home.
Okay, when we were in Anaheim, though, and you ripped that saw behind me, I know you know what I'm talking about. Were you waiting for the moment? We need your perspective on this. Like, the moment I started talking.
Well, yeah, kind of. Well, I saw you looking around just about to start talking, so I was like, okay, I'm going to hold it a little longer. But, yeah.
Did you know that I was talking about you and Kaapo? You had no idea what I was talking about. That.
I just saw you talking. I was like, okay, now I have to hold it a little longer.
Yeah, that was what was...
I thought about screaming, too, and make it like I cut myself, but then I was like, that's too much.
That would have been all time. That would have been a hilarious clip.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know what I would have done. Like, Kaapo's hurt. Tolvi's hurt. I was talking about Kaapo, though, living with you again at the beginning of the season because we had, like, just ran like a feature on him. So I was like, is he just mad that I said his name? He doesn't want me talking about him.
Oh, yeah, no idea.
No, you definitely would have broke. There's no way you'd been able to keep going with what you were talking
if
about.
If you screamed and
thought it's like his finger's gone or something.
I'd be like, I'd be a bad person if I didn't. I wouldn't be a pro. I'd be like, wow, sociopath just locked in over there, unconcerned.
Yeah. That would have been something. I think you should do that. Just wait a few years.
Well, now
let her,
I know.
Let her forget.
Yes.
And then do it.
Bring it back.
All right. You got anything else?
No, that's, no. I mean, that's good. I mean, I obviously, last question, maybe the last thing on hockey, speaking of the Olympics coming back, there's not much time left here in the rest of the season, 20 games left at the time of recording this. Is there anything that you can bring back from your experience in the Olympics that can help you down this stretch?
That's a good one. I don't know, probably just the passion, you know, how you play for the national team. Yeah. It's crazy when you go play for the country, you always feel like you have an extra 10%. It's crazy how it feels like you're giving your best here, but then you go put your country, everybody's watching Olympics, yeah. You feel like you get like a little push. So maybe try to bring that push too. I think we all need it right now. It's going to be a tight race for the playoffs. So I think if we can all bring a little extra 5, 10% and figure out this, you know, game again and, you know, start playing like we did before the break.
Mm. Will you pop on your bronze medal for us? For the cameras?
And they put it on?
Yeah. That's pretty right. Cool. Where are you going to put it?
That's a good question. I think I got to put...
Finally.
Make the jersey and put the medal somewhere. Yeah. Put it in a wall, maybe.
Like in like in a nice like a, case?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe in, I don't know, Finland or just state. I don't know. I don't know if I want to leave it here or take it back home.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the spot yet picked up, but...
We don't need to confirm it's where it's definitely going.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's good. Whatever wall, you'll let us know later. No, all good. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Tolby. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Well, thank you to Ellie Tolvanen for joining us. That was one of my favorite interviews. That was super fun.
Well, that was awesome. Had some good answers. Really wish he would have done the scream and yell during the saw clip. That would have been something special to get a little extra insight on that too. What was going through his mind during that awesome clip that you put out.
I always tell people, and I know I say it on the broadcast all the time too, I'm like, Ellie Tolvanen, he has an energy, a humor that's really hard to capture. I think just like in-game interviews and those kinds of things, like it just doesn't fully come across in the same way as when you like actually get to know him. So I thought that was really fun to really just get to talk with him and see his personality a little bit more for everybody. So
I thought it was awesome. I also like the last answer. I think that's important too, down the stretch and talking about playing for his country and how you got an extra 5 to 10% and like how that can, we all can give that little bit extra. I thought that was a thoughtful answer to a question that I kind of threw a curveball to him.
Yeah.
He said,
good question.
I don't get that very often, so.
little fist bump. All right, everybody. Well, we wanted to leave you with some words of wisdom from JT here because February was Black History Month. March is, of course, Women's History Month. And in the last game of February, JT came on the Kraken pregame show to talk about a little bit of Black hockey history. And there was a clip of something that you said that many of us felt was just so poignant, so heartfelt, and so important for people to hear. And I think it also can carry over and apply for women or for anybody who loves this game, who doesn't see themselves in this game in a variety of ways. So please enjoy. We want to send you off with JT's wisdom. It's rare.
You're welcome in this game. And at the any point, if anybody tells you that you're not, they're wrong flat out, keep pushing through, and you're gonna find people, you know, within this game that are gonna support you and continue to push. So for me, don't give up and continue to find that love just the way that I did within this sport. It's an amazing sport. It is by far, in my opinion, yes, I'm biased, but don't give up. That'd be my key.
Thank you for tuning into Signals from the Deep with Piper Shaw and JT Brown. Give us an assist by rating your show on your listening app. You can watch the full video episodes on the Seattle Kraken's YouTube. Go Kraken!